Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome to my brand new podcast, Diamond in the South. I'm your host, Nicole Mendez, and I am so excited to get started with this season for 2025 with you guys. Before we dive into literally everything about the SEC, which is what I will be covering in this podcast, I want to remind you guys, make sure you go like and subscribe not only to this podcast, but every other podcast underneath the Softball America Network. Every time you comment, I want to make sure that we're able to interact, we're able to talk with you. Like, I want to know, what is it that you guys like? What is it that you dislike? I would love to be able to start that conversation going. And if you want to follow me more, I always post my thoughts and opinions as well as the rest of the Softball America staff. So make sure you give them a follow. But me specifically, you can follow me on Instagram at Nicole_Mendez_. And if you want to follow me on X, it is at Nicole_Mendez_. TikTok, get a little crazy. I have two underscores at Nicole_Mendez_. Hope to see you guys there on all platforms. But for now, let's go ahead and get started on this platform itself. So, Diamond in the South, what the heck is it? Over the past several years, the term "it just means more" has been something that has been coined, that has been repeated. Some people love it, some people hate it. Either way, you know what conference you're talking about whenever you hear that phrase. And for me, I guess I'm now a new honorary member of the conference with Oklahoma joining. I'm a former Sooner myself. I played softball at the University of Oklahoma. I graduated. I finished playing in 2021. So I missed the SEC train, but in my heart, I'm here. I've joined. I've stepped into "it just means more," and I'm ready to get rolling. With that, there's a lot of movement that has happened this past year, the past 2 years in conferences. There has been a lot of adjustments. Everyone's kind of learning the new vibe. So for me, what is the new vibe? What is SEC? What are these teams like? What are these campuses like? What are these fans like? That's what I really want to uncover in this pod. I want to make sure that you guys know where to go. Where should I eat? Where should I snack? Where should I stay? What's the best coffee place? What's the best boba place? Where is the best entertainment in this city? Who are the athletes to be looking out for? All of the above. And so that is what I'm going to be delivering to you guys. And I cannot wait for season to get started. So excited to talk about getting into season. This will be the first pod that games will start tonight, game one of the season of 2025. Now, we said it last year, we saw it last year, a lot of parity, but it is going to go to the next level here in 2025. SEC is no exception from that. I think with as much strength that you have in one conference, it's going to be a little bit of mayhem. It's going to be a little bit crazy. So right now, let's go ahead. I'm going to read off the SEC lineup here in the top 25. So going off of the NFCA poll, you have Texas ranked at number one, OU ranked at number two, Florida at three, Tennessee at six, Texas A&M at eight, LSU at 10, Alabama at number 11, Georgia at 12, and then Arkansas 14, Missouri 15, and rounding it out at number 24, you have Mississippi State. That is a lot of teams. That is a lot of talent. That's a lot of beating up that's going to happen in conference. But right now, in the other podcast that I host on the Dirt with Gray Robertson, he said it best: don't look too far ahead. You have to stay in the moment. Being able to stay present during preseason is one of the biggest battles that you face. I faced it whenever I played at Oklahoma. I remember coming into my freshman year, and we're playing a couple of teams. We're at Mary Nutter, and all of a sudden we lose a game, and I'm like, eh, it's okay. And the team's like, no, every single game counts. And that's whenever I realized, once I got to college, man, this is intense. This is next level. So preseason, you cannot skip over that. There's going to be a lot of really good softball. We all remember what happened at Clearwater last year. It was like a home run bonanza. It was crazy. I'm expecting pitchers this year to be the ones that dominate. I think we're going to see hitters shut down a little bit the past several years. We've seen a lot of data become available for hitters specifically to be able to look at pitchers, to be able to break it down. And yes, pitchers benefited from it too. I'm not saying it was just completely one-sided, but I will say there wasn't anything specifically for pitchers. And I think times are changing. You see the staffs are changing. I'm calling that we're going to see a lot of pitch by committee. So you're not going to see the traditional 1-2, maybe a 3 pitcher. You're going to see your ace on Friday, maybe 3 or 4 on Saturday, maybe your ace and 2 others again on Sunday. It is going to be a total mix from pitching staffs, and I can't wait. There's a lot of pitching staffs that stand out to me, but 2 of them, number 6 Tennessee and number 8 Texas A&M, those are the ones specifically that I am thinking of, is they have a really good ace. So you have Carlin Pickens at Tennessee, and then you have Emily Kennedy at Texas A&M. You have a really, really good ace, and then you have a lot of talent underneath them. Maybe not as proven. So this year they're going to get the chance, but you're going to have that ace that has the experience, that has that talent, has been in those moments. They've proven themselves. And then you're going to get these young guns who are, I'm motivated. Let's go. I'm chomping at the bit to be able to prove myself. This is my year kind of mentality. I'm really, really excited for that. But I want to highlight just different players from my top 5 teams in the SEC. So starting with number 1, Texas, Reese Atwood. I think you're going to know this. And if you're a softball fan, you already know this. But I cannot emphasize enough, Reese Atwood is a game changer for Texas. Where she goes, the team follows behind. If she struggles, you typically see the team start to struggle a little bit. Whenever she's hot, man, they are unstoppable. And she's a 2-way force, which is so impressive that she's able to separate her hitting from her catching and being able to have that presence of mind, to have that leadership mentality behind the plate. You see how the team responds to her. She is big time for Texas, especially whenever Texas, they're going to need to rely on their upperclassmen a little bit more, who have been there. She's been there 2 years in a row, have fallen short. They're hungry. They have something to prove this year. Number 2 at Oklahoma, I'm going to say Sam Landry. There has been a lot of shifting and moving around, not just at Oklahoma, but around the country. But with OU specifically, I look at their pitching staff and I go, who's a clear leader here? Who's going to step up and take charge? Last year, Nicole May, she was an anchor for the pitching staff for several years, for 5 years. She started off as a freshman and she was an anchor as a freshman. And that continued all the way up into her COVID senior year, being able to go and really, really shine. I think it's important that Oklahoma has that person that can anchor down. I think of Sam Landry. I think of her experience, her depth. She's somebody who I'm a big fan of. I've seen her compete, and that's what you want to see from your pitcher. Number 3, Florida, going back to the catcher hitter duo, Jocelyn Erickson. Incredible. Incredible. Whenever you compare her to Reese Atwood, their numbers are like so similar. She was a Golden Glove winner of the 2024 season this past year at the catcher position. Has an arm unreal. And I do love a good lefty story. But for me, whenever I see Jocelyn Erickson, I see Steady Eddie. And I think whenever I watched Florida at the World Series this past year, they were so talented. They were so good. And then they had this moment where they just fluttered just a little bit of shakiness. If they can find a way to stay steady, they're golden. And with somebody like Jocelyn Erickson behind the plate, in the box, just in the dugout, she is here. She's going to bring energy, but she's going to be here. She's going to be that player that you can look to and go, all right, we're okay. Things are okay. Relax. Relax. We are fine. That's her for me. For number 6, Tennessee, Carlin Pickens. She is now the experienced pitcher. And I talk about this a lot with the pitchers because you're seeing a lot of those COVID seniors, those pitching staffs, they've they've graduated. Those top hitters, they've graduated. It is definitely almost like a changing of the guard kind of moment where these players that we've seen for the past 5 years, they're no longer here. And Carlin Pickens, she's not a stranger to being in the circle, to being one of the aces. But for her, this is the first year where she is the one that everyone else is looking up to. And stepping into that leadership role is not easy. It is not easy, especially whenever you're in the circle. You're already having eyes look at you all the time. It's not easy, but I think she is one that can definitely handle it. Number 8, Texas A&M. I was a fan of this girl. She is a transfer. She's new to Texas A&M. I have been a fan of her for a while. I think I called one of her games a couple of years ago at Flow Softball in a preseason tournament in Puerto Vallarta. I am a big fan of Mac Barba. What she does is compete. She competes, she is tough, and she makes adjustments pitch to pitch. She doesn't even take at bat to at bat. She competes pitch to pitch, and she's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous hitter. I've said it before, and sometimes whenever you're a player at a mid-major, you don't get the credit that you deserve. She's going to be the same player that she was. But now that she's at A&M, she's going to get a little bit more eyes on her. This, if you don't know who she is, you will by the end of 2025 season. Heck, you might know who she is by the end of preseason. She is that good. And every single time I've watched her, she has come and she has sparked and she has come swinging whenever season has started. She is not one to sit down and lie down. She's attacking. She's a competitor. She loves to compete. And that is my top 5 for athletes. And one thing that I really want to highlight with this is there's so much talent. There's so much variety. But as we head into preseason, there's two things that as an athlete that I thought of that whenever I interview coaches, whenever I interview players, whenever I talk to them, this is what runs through their mind. Whether they consciously understand it and say it, or they don't even know that they're doing it. But these two things, I think, are expectations and standards, and they're different. The expectation is a little bit different than the standard. The standard, whenever you go into a preseason tournament, whenever you get started with this new team, right? Especially with the transfer portal, a lot of new teams, very new, a lot of new faces. The standard is this is how we behave. These are our actions. This is what we expect, right? And then you go into the expectations of what are my expectations for this specific game, for this specific preseason tournament. And that is where I think a lot of teams, you see them come start out and they're like, what the heck is going on? Or they're like, holy cow, they've had 200 home runs, it feels like, in the first 10 games of their season. You see a lot of one end or the other end of the spectrum. Remember, these teams, this is the first time they're playing together. And not in a practice, but in a game setting. I don't really like to comment too much on things until we get through the first few games. Until we get through like 5, 6, 7 games. Then I'm like, this is a trend. This is something. But the expectation is to see where your team is at. See where you're at as a player. How can I get here to go to here, to go to here, to go to here, to go to here, to get incrementally better every single game, every single at bat, every single preseason tournament? Because you know all of these games matter, especially with how many top matchups that we have going on. If you're a mid-major, these games are extremely important. If you're one of the teams trying to get into the top 10, get that spot solidified before you get into conference, all these games, they matter. They matter not just now, they matter in postseason. So it's always a setup. I always think about those two things whenever you go into a season. Those are very, very important.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Last thing I will say on this very first episode of Diamond in the South, I want to highlight, and maybe it will be in person sometimes, sometimes it will be remote, but I want to highlight and I want to talk about each individual team in the SEC conference because tailgating done like no other. I am so excited to experience some of this myself in person this 2025 season. So the team that I'm starting off with is a team that I last saw in the SEC in person at their home court or home field, and that is Tennessee. The Lady Vols, I was so impressed with Knoxville. I had so much fun. Fun fact, Tennessee was my number two choice. I almost went there. I loved everything about that campus. I thought the way that there is school pride, the way that you have the river, it's just beautiful nearby. The way that they have this cute, quaint little downtown area where there's a mix of entertainment and restaurants and shopping. They do such a good job of just creating that culture of, I want to stay here a while. Now, for me, the biggest highlights are, and I wrote them down so you guys could remember, Knox Box. This is the entertainment. It is a karaoke bar that is incredible. And I personally can verify their mics are great. The entertainment is great. And you're going to get one song that you don't know. And you're going to get one song that you're going to be belting out as loud as you can. It was an experience. And if you ever want to get a Knoxville experience, I highly recommend you guys going to Knox Box for the karaoke. Also, if you go up there for a weekend tournament, they had a farmer's market. It was the cutest thing. They had it in their downtown garden grass area square, and they had probably about 80 or so vendors. There was an assortment of things. They had honey, they had fresh bread, they had meat, they had veggies, they had little snacks that you could try, some prepared food. They had a variety of different things. And it was just a really nice and different thing that we could do. Whenever I go to a team on a weekend, you kind of start to see the same things. That felt really refreshing. And it was very close to campus and very close to, if you're going to visit, that's probably the area that you would stay in. Something that you could just walk to from your hotel, walk back, head to the game. It was pretty great. I loved it. Frothy Monkey, their matcha is incredible. I highly recommend getting a drink from there, whether it's a coffee, whether it's a tea, whether it's a matcha. They were great. I think I went there 3 times in 4 days. I was obsessed and I didn't go the first day. So that tells you anything. Cruz Farm. I actually was told to go here by Zeta Pooney, who was on Tennessee last year, and Desiree Martinez. She is currently on Tennessee's team. I loved it. They had so many different flavors, but it was locally made, locally sourced, something that was fun. If you have a bit of a sweet tooth, that's the place to go. And of course, if you're looking to go eat, get a nice dinner, the Kennedy is the place to go. I highly recommend 10 out of 10. And I don't give 10 out of 10 all the time. 10 out of 10 on the bone marrow. If you go there, make sure you order the bone marrow. It was so flavorful. The vibes were great. There was a lot of TVs around. So if you're wanting to watch games, softball on the weekend, you can be able to peek and watch it downstairs. But in the upstairs area, if you want it to be a little bit quieter, get a little bit of rest from all the softball, rest and rejuvenate before you head back out that next day. They also have a quieter, more exclusive area upstairs for the diners as well. I had a great time in Knoxville, obviously, because I'm talking about all these different things. But another thing about Tennessee, I already talked about Carlin Pickens, already talked about the food, but the tailgating is something that I was just blown away by. Tennessee, whenever you park and you're going to that field, you have to walk forever. And you're passing all these RVs and you're passing all these tents, the tailgating, not just from the parents and not just from the alums, but from the fans is incredible. And you have to walk past all of them. And there's just an energy and a vibe that is so strong and so favorable for Tennessee as you're going into that stadium. So if you're a Vol fan, you're loving it. And if you're not, well, good luck. You're going to get heckled a little bit on the way in, but that's all part of it. That's what makes it so much fun. So that's all I have for you guys today. I am so excited for this 2025 season. I can't wait to talk about the games that are upcoming next time. And I can't wait to give you guys another school to preview. Let me know who you want me to talk about next. If you guys have any recommendations for the best spots for your favorite SEC team, please comment them down below. And again, make sure you like and subscribe, not just to this podcast, Diamond in the South, but to all the podcasts underneath the South American Network. Like, subscribe, make sure to comment. I love to engage with you guys. And that's it for me. I'm Nicole Mendez, and I will talk to you guys next week.